Good morning to you all. We read the following words in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Sometimes it seems that joy and peace are elusive. Loneliness, family tensions, unexpected crises, grief and national events can make them seem just beyond our grasp. The COVID-19 pandemic brushed away any sense of normality that 2020 had any potential of providing. Social distancing, quarantine, unemployment and fear are some of the things that we're all dealing with. On the 24-hour news channels, people with differing views scream at each other and talk over one another. On a personal level, we're afraid of catching the virus. We miss getting physically close to one another. Those able to come to the service at church miss shaking hands, etc. We can't see the full expression on faces due to face masks. And it seems that for now, there is no end in sight. In many ways, it all seems completely insane. And then with all this going on, we read the words in this morning's scripture passage. And we wonder, how can Paul call us to rejoice in the face of such madness? How can we know peace? How can God expect those who struggle with mental and physical illness as well as other problems to rejoice? A Swiss theologian described joy as a continually defiant nevertheless. A continually defiant nevertheless. Which suggests that the kind of joy Paul is talking about isn't based on circumstances. It is much more than that. When Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, he was living in a Roman prison. So it seems strange that he was telling the church to rejoice. But what Paul is showing us is that our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was waiting to appear in court and to face the charges against him, and the verdict could lead to his execution. The church he was writing to was undergoing a lot of persecution and having all kinds of problems. Yet Paul, from prison, is able to write a letter of encouragement to the church. And those words are for us today. So what are we to do? How do we deal with our feelings and our concerns and all the unknowns of this pandemic and with everything else that is going on in our lives? That is where Paul's words in Philippians come in. He gives us a plan for surviving these times. I want to begin with the last few words of verse 5. The Lord is near. Remember that the Lord is near. That's a pretty good place to begin dealing with any concerns we might have. No matter what you're feeling, remember the Lord is near. Even if someone you love is far away, the Lord is near. When you're at your lowest, the Lord is near. But when you think he isn't listening, the Lord is near. When the only words we seem to be hearing are lockdown and coronavirus, the Lord is near. Take a moment and let these words sink in. The Lord is near. I think sometimes we have rushed past these words to get to the verse about not being anxious. If you remember nothing else from this morning, remember the Lord is near. You and I can't change the situation, but the Lord is near. You might not be able to reach out and hold your loved one, but the Lord is near. He hears every cry and knows every anxious moment. The Lord is near. Paul didn't know exactly what he would be facing in the coming days, but he knew without a doubt that whatever happened, he would not face it alone. Notice how Paul reminds us that whether we are glad or troubled, the Lord is near. Whether we live in freedom or some form of captivity, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. Whether our health is good or shaky, God's children can rejoice because the Lord is near. Whether our finances are booming or busting, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. Whether we feel alone or swamped by people, we can rejoice because the Lord is near. It's not often that you will hear me quote from the King James Version, but I do like the way these words are translated there. The Lord is at hand. I can just picture Jesus right there by my side. God is always with us. Whether we have to go through troubled times, as we all will at different points in our lives, or are in a good place, God stays with us. The idea of the Lord being near or close is a recurring assurance to God's people in the Old Testament. We read in Psalm 34, verse 18, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Psalm 119, verse 151, "Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true." Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." Living in our world today produces anxiety. There can be no doubt about it. It can seem that at every turn there is some new fear to concern us and burden our days. But Paul's words offer us comfort this morning and for the coming days. The Lord is close, right by our side. Because the Lord is near or at hand, Paul goes on to say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:31. "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them." Don't worry. That's a pretty strong statement. Don't be anxious about anything. If the situation in our world was different, I would probably be talking to you about all the things we worry about that really aren't worth worrying about. I'd talk to you about all the small things that we spend so much time worrying about. But I think we already realise that faced with the realities of COVID, problems with the economy, employment and child poverty, etc., we clearly see how much time we waste worrying about little things that really don't matter. But maybe that makes verse 6 of our reading a little harder to deal with. We could easily admit that we really shouldn't worry about problems at work or disagreements with our friends or small issues with our children. We know we shouldn't worry about those things. But Paul says quite clearly, don't be anxious about anything. Including in that is the current situation and all the other issues that are going on in our world. Paul says, don't worry about it. Now, I don't know about you, but I need a little more help than that if I'm going to stop worrying. Sometimes just telling us not to worry is like telling someone who is going through a really tough time, you should just be happy. It doesn't work that way. Just telling me to stop worrying does not help me stop worrying. In fact, it can make me worry more. So I'm glad Paul kept writing. He tells us how to control our worrying. He writes, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." That is the way to deal with worry, whether it's little issues or big issues you're worried about. They can all be brought under control through prayer. In Instead of worrying, Paul tells us to pray. Paul uses three words for our prayers: prayer, petition and requests. Petition and requests have the idea of specific praying. When we have nothing to worry about, we find it relatively easy to pray general prayers. These may cover adoration, confession, thanksgiving and supplication. You can pray through any prayer lists which you might use. You can pray for those you know who are unwell. You can pray broad general prayers that cover a wide range of topics. But when you are beginning to worry about something, your prayers get very specific, don't they? Since COVID, how much more specific have your prayers been? Paul says here that when you begin to worry, start praying. Pray general prayers and pray specific prayers, because that is how you're going to unload your worries. The Message paraphrase of Philippians 4:6 reads, "Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer." Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. As soon as worry comes into your mind, make it a prayer. Whatever that worry might be, shape that worry into a prayer. Paul encourages us not just to pray, but to pray with thanksgiving. So what does thanksgiving have to do with worry? I think Paul tells us to pray with thanksgiving when we're worried, because thanksgiving takes our minds off our situation. When we are worried, we focus only on the problems in our life. When we are anxious, our attention is on nothing but the source of our worry. We don't step back and get perspective. We don't see the before or after the impending problem. We just focus on the problem. When we begin to thank God, we're able to stand back from the problem and see the bigger picture. When we begin to thank God, we remember that not all life has been characterised by the current crisis. We can thank God for his character, which reminds us that God is loving and kind and good and faithful and worthy of our trust and is indeed near. We can thank God for his blessings in our life, which reminds us that though the current struggle is hard, we still have so much to be thankful for. When we thank God for his promises, we are reminded that we won't always be in the situation we are in now. There won't always be trials and difficulties, because one day we will be with him. Prayers of thanksgiving are a wonderful antidote to worry, and they also produce joy in our hearts. So as you are praying general prayers and specific prayers, remember to pray thankful prayers. Many of you will know the old song, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." As we count our blessings, it will lead us to prayers of thankfulness. Let's go back to the beginning of verse 4 of our reading. Now that we've talked about worries and anxieties and how to deal with them, it's a good time to remember Paul's theme throughout this letter, and he emphasises it in verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." We quote this verse so flippantly. Sometimes we put catchy little tunes with it and sing it. Indeed, we've listened to these words this morning. We need to take them seriously. Rejoice in the Lord always. Even right now in the midst of a pandemic, Paul would tell us to rejoice, to find joy. He doesn't tell us to ignore the situation or live in denial, but he does say, find reasons for joy in every single situation. Even if your situation has the potential to make you worry, find joy. Again, that doesn't mean that we won't hurt at times. It doesn't mean that we won't ever cry. It simply means that on good days and bad days, we find ways to have joy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. We rejoice in the Lord. This very title reminds us that the God we worship is a king who is firmly in charge. That's why Paul urged the Philippians not to worry. Our God, this ruling king, is interested in our welfare. He is sovereign, so we don't have to worry about a thing. Let God take control of your situation. Enjoy the blessings you do have. When we continue to have joy and turn our worries into prayer and remember to be thankful, this is what happens. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace that surpasses all our imaginations. Peace, true peace, that can rejoice even in a Roman prison as one awaits the possibility of execution. What would people pay for this? A peace that transcends all understanding and guards our hearts and minds, even amidst the worst that this world can throw at us. How much is that worth? Millions? Billions? Trillions? But it can't be bought. It is, in the truest sense, priceless. Could this be the reason Jesus himself compared it in Matthew chapter 13 to a treasure that somebody hid in a field, which someone else found and covered up, and then, full of joy, the finder sold everything and bought that field? Or again, Jesus said it like this: a merchant in search of fine pearls, when he found one very precious pearl, he went and sold all that he owned and bought it. Surely it's worth everything we have. One day a rich young man came to Jesus in search of this peace. He asked Jesus what he must do to receive it. Jesus answered, "Sell everything you own and distribute the money to the poor. Then you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the rich young man heard these words, he became very sad, because he was extremely rich. And so he left, sad, but rich. The man was unwilling to part with his things because of the grip they had on him. As I said at the beginning, Philippians wasn't written to or by a person living an easy life where everything was going well. Both Paul and the church had difficulties. But the promise of this scripture is the same in all times. Whether we are living in plenty or in need, there comes to us from God a life that is a joy to live. It carries with it a satisfaction and a peace that are out of this world. We heard something of this from Paul last week. Paul was at peace about his future because he knew that the Lord was at hand and that whatever happened, he would not face it alone. He knew that life is good as long as you are walking with Jesus by your side. A man was in a bed in a cardiac ICU in a hospital. He had just undergone radical and experimental surgery designed to save his life. As he lay in that ICU, he was in crisis. There were serious post-surgical complications. That night he laid awake, afraid that his life was about to end, and reflecting on what it had and had not been. Thinking about all the things that he had got through any means he could, and all the things that he'd lost, all the pain that he'd suffered, and all the pain that he'd inflicted on others. He lay there asking himself, "What has been the one thing in my life I had always sought after but could never find?" The answer was easy. The one thing he'd never been able to find was peace. The next morning, the hospital chaplain came to his room, making his rounds from patient to patient. He only stayed for a few minutes. Before he left, he said, "Let me read a brief passage from the Bible to you, and then we can say a prayer." The chaplain opened his Bible and read Jesus' words in John 14:27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The man said, "The word struck me like a spiritual hammer. The chaplain didn't know me. He didn't know my story. He didn't know what I'd wrestled with all night long. But there is no way his visit could have been a mere coincidence. Without even knowing that he did so, he showed me how to find what I had needed and could not find my entire life. I suddenly got it, that if I could have Jesus, if I could really get to know him, I would find peace. And that," he said, "turned out to be the case for me." By relying on Christ and Christ alone, we find that peace isn't about what's going on around us. Just as you can be lonely in a crowd of people, Just as you can feel anxious and afraid in the safest of places, you can have a sense of calm, no matter how fierce the storms of life or frightening the situation. It's not surroundings that make us secure. It's not money. It's not material stuff. It's not even our friends and family. It is God's peace, the sure and certain knowledge that whatever might happen, God will never let us go, and he is near at hand. I've already quoted John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." The result of the work of the Holy Spirit is a deep and lasting peace. Unlike worldly peace, which is usually defined as the absence of conflict, this peace is the assurance of Christ's peace in all circumstances. We have no need to fear the present or the future. Feeling stressed this morning? Remember, the Lord is at hand. Give all your concerns to him and allow the Holy Spirit to fill you with Christ's peace. Jesus has promised to give us peace if we will accept it. And that is the peace which transcends all understanding. Even as the world is in turmoil and there is nothing but negativity coming from the news, we can have peace. As COVID-19 causes us to change the way we've always done just about everything, we can have peace. We can experience the victory of Christ. You see, we cannot buy peace. It isn't going to come about through getting to back to what we used to see as normal, or even a vaccine. As I said earlier, this peace is indeed priceless. And that is because it's already been bought. It was bought on the cross by God himself when Jesus died for you and me. God is peace, and there is more than enough to go around. He hands it out freely to anyone who will ask and receive. The Lord is near this morning. Turn to him, ask and receive. Amen.